7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz.
Woo! Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode. And yes, Tom is here actually talking with us. Did not storm out. Did not kill himself. Did not drink himself crazy.
Last week, we have a great first show. Recap the Super Bowl.
It was like 10 minutes in.
Get ready to talk about our quarterback prospects.
You know what I do? I don't blame McDaniels. I blame myself for bringing it up. I'm sorry.
I would have had no idea.
No, I don't blame you. Who I blame is Tom for being a little bitch.
Ooh.
Fact.
Tim.
Fact. Hashtag stop truth yelling. Hurts.
All right.
Truth hurts, man.
First, I want to apologize to all the fans. I want to apologize to you too. But it is hard to do a podcast when you get stabbed in the back by a snake. That's what happened last week.
I want to let you know
Tim,
something.
Tim, shut up. I'm talking. Yeah, for once, this is my spotlight. But I really wanted to apologize. It was probably my worst performance ever. Don't ask my wife about that. But it's a good day in Colts Nation. Glad to be back and not suicidal like I was last week. And I love you all.
In typical fashion, things get to the lowest of lows. Everyone's sad, down in the dumps. And what happens? Darwinism, back on top, boom. The Third Reich starts here in Indianapolis.
They made the right decision.
I mean, I don't know how you could be mad about it. I like the hire for your Colts, Tommy.
He might be a member of a mob. He looked like a mobster today. He looked like he was going to kill Josh McDaniels. Like, he looked a little dangerous. I liked it.
I thought a little bit like he might have been a robot because he repeated himself a lot.
Yeah.
It was a lot that he was like, we're going to go in there. We're going to be the most disciplined team on the field. It's like, okay, Reich. Like, I get it. He just kept repeating himself on certain things like that. Made a very intimidating a persona, if you would, for sure. Like, but Colts lucked out. Let's call a spade here, Tom. The Colts got extremely lucky that the Vikings coaching staff, as Reich even put it in the press conference, went dark. Everyone went dark. Did not say anything. Told all their men, hey, once the Super Bowl's over, I'll worry about it then. So the Colts still had this opportunity. If they did not do that, who knows who the Colts are looking at right now as a head football coach.
There were three candidates, I believe, after we had our show. It was Reich. It was Leslie Frazier. And who was the third one?
Campbell. He was
Campbell. Correct. From Miami, right?
Yeah, he looks like PC
let's
principal.
Let's do the bowl, or was it the bowl in the ring, or whatever it is?
Yeah.
When he first took over for God, I forget who he took over for, but he said we're gonna get back to hard nosed football, and we're gonna get back to the old days. Yeah, that lasted like 10 minutes. And then
sounds
like
very similar to what Reich said today. Actually, when the words that you're preaching here, Joshua.
So Reich does go to the Colts. They bring offensive coordinator over.
Which one? Which one? How many OCs you got, bro?
They only got one. Jason LaConforta messed up. He dropped the ball. And Bevel was a McDaniels guy.
But he
is under contract, right?
Bevel, no. He never signed.
I
thought Bevel did sign.
No, the report was that's who McDaniels was talking to Tuesday morning.
Interesting.
And then he changed his mind Tuesday night.
So they bring over who?
Was it Sirianni?
Sirianni, which
from,
is a former wide receivers coach from the Chargers. And he has produced wide receivers such as, or I don't want to say produce, but help develop wide receivers such as Keenan Allen. And who's the other kid after Keenan Allen went down? Big tall kid, I can't remember his name.
Oh, God.
Drawing a blank on his name. But regardless, so developed some pretty good wide receivers over there in San Diego. And now he's coming over as the offensive coordinator. How do you feel about that?
I'm okay with it. It's a young guy. He went to Mount Union. He's got kind of that attitude, that D3 or whatever freaking level of football they're at. Hard-nosed kid. Everything that everyone's writing about him, all the former teammates or people that played under him are saying he's a disciplinarian. He's a smart football mind. People have been comparing him to McVay. He's extremely young. football's in his background. I'm okay with it right now.
I have two questions for you, Tom. My two biggest takeaways from the press conference today. You actually told Josh and I to watch the press conference, and I did, as you said. I didn't even watch Matt Nagy's press conference, but I watched it a good amount of Frank Reich's. Two lines that I got from him, I want to know your opinion. Number one, when asked by one Pat McAfee about one Josh McDaniels, when he said, "The backup role has suited me well in my career." I want to know your opinion on that. Answer that first, and then I got one more for you.
It was the perfect answer. Dude's a devout Christian. He is. He quit, or after he was done playing football, he led a church for, I think it was close to 10 years. He's a man of God that has done well. Look at Nick Foles, Super Bowl champion, right. Man of God.
He can lead a church, he can lead a team. I'm going to go on to the next one. When asked about Andrew Luck, I thought this was pretty interesting, actually. Reich said, "Andrew Luck, key to make Luck magical? It's a team game. I believe he's the best. But I came off a team that we lost our starting quarterback and won the Super Bowl." How do you read into that? Because it kind of seemed to, like, when he said it, it kind of caught me off guard a little bit, where he was kind of like, "Hey, Andrew Luck has been the guy, but we don't really know where he's at, and we'll see what happens."
I just think it's showing that what he's preaching and what Chris Ballard has been preaching, that football is not about just one player. That's what they've been showing their teams, and that's kind of been Chris Ballard's mantra, and that's what he wanted out of a coach. He said he did not want a coach that was just coming to Indy because of the quarterback. And Ballard, after the press conference, was talking to the press, and he said Frank Reich didn't ask about Andrew Luck once during the 10-hour interview, that he had to bring it up to him and gave him kind of the heads up of what's going on with him afterwards.
Alright. Do you buy that shit? He came out
and said Frank Reich wasn't even a top five candidate originally. So obviously he's being honest.
That's fine. I trust him. But do you buy that you have a fucking 10-hour interview and not once the franchise quarterback who's been having fucking sheep stem cells injected into his arm in the Netherlands for the last 10 months never comes up? You want me to believe that?
I feel like it would be stupid to go in that interview and be asking about Andrew Luck.
In 10 hours? What do you talk? I couldn't talk to my wife for 10 hours.
I have no idea. I've never been through an NFL job interview.
10 hours. Josh, I want something here. 10 hours? You don't think once.
Let me say one thing. Chris Ballard made a point. I don't want a coach coming in here who's only coming in here for number 12.
It's not only...
So why would you go in the interview and be like, "Hey, how's Andrew Luck doing?"
Not only...
It'd be stupid. You're not going to get the job.
In 10 hours, he should want to know what his grandkids' college plans are. 10 hours interview. You know it's true. 10 hours? What do you even talk about for 10 hours if you're not talking about Andrew Luck?
I have no idea.
Yeah, exactly. No one does. How do you think we should best change this logo here, Mr. Reich?
The other wide receiver was Tyrell Williams.
There you go.
Sorry. So I had to get that out. Yeah, I don't know. That's
10
very...
10 hours,
Tim,
bro.
I'm going to say it. That's a very good question. 10 hours.
10
and
hours.
That doesn't come up. I do agree. That is a little outlandish, but, you know, it is what it is.
I do agree that he went in there. He tried his best for an hour, maybe two. Like, you know what? I'm going to play it cool. I'm not going to bring him up. Hour 3, 4, 7, 8, 9? You tell me he wasn't like, "Hey, by the way, Mr. Big Dick, what's going on with Andrew Luck? Give me a break. He didn't bring that shit up."
The Giants ended up signing Mike Shula as their offensive coordinator. And my question to you guys is now, what happens to Bevel? He is no longer linked with the Colts because, obviously, they hired Sereni or whatever his name is.
Tell you what happens.
And now Shula is at the Giants. They considered Bevel the front runner at one point for the Giants. Where does he go?
He goes nowhere. He murder-suicides Josh McDaniels.
That's what he should do.
That's what happens. I mean, this is the product of... he's going to end up being like a team assistant somewhere or a team advisor somewhere. It's bullshit. Go ahead.
That brought me to my next question, because if you look at a team like the Eagles, right? They lost their offensive coordinator. They lost their quarterback's coach that went to the Vikings.
Yep.
And their only replacement for that position, most likely, is either between running back coach Deuce Staley and wide receiver coach Mike Groh. I don't know how you say that. So they have no timetable to announce an offensive coordinator. They don't plan on announcing an offensive coordinator. They don't plan on promoting either one of those guys because
and they shouldn't.
And they shouldn't. I agree. But we all know that offense goes through Doug Peterson. Would it be smart of them to hire somebody such as Bevel, bring him in, and name him the offensive coordinator?
I don't think that they should name a Bevel as offensive coordinator, especially someone from the outside. No, listen, you have found a way to build a team unity within, right, of that franchise. Adding a Bevel, nothing against Bevel whatsoever. He is a fantastic addition to any team. But bringing him in with that OC title right now, listen, Deuce Staley obviously ties to the organization.
He's gonna prior, be
yeah, he's prior gonna be to coaching. He should not be promoted to that OC role yet, but you can't put someone in above him and kind of step on his toes type deal. Bring him in as an advisor. Bring him in. Hey, you know, or odds are, it's my guess. I'm not sure who Bevel started with. Or who he's...
I know he worked with Rodgers early in his career, so yeah. Green Bay moved to Seattle as a OC. He's worked with good quarterbacks and has been pretty productive.
My point of it is, at this point, just kind of the way that all the cards have fell and he has gotten screwed, he just needs to go with a head coach or someone who had originally brought him on as an assistant, as an advisor, as something... and see what happens. He should not be getting an offensive coordinator job at this point.
Well, yeah, you look at his route on the offseason already. He has interviewed for the Falcons quarterback job, not offensive coordinator, which is very different, I guess. I believe the Cardinals interviewed him for the offensive coordinator. Of course, the Vikings, the Colts. I don't know where he goes from here. Maybe he does go somewhere as a quarterback coach. I don't know.
He might get a made-up title, assistant head coach, passing game coordinator.
You read my mind, Tom.
Quarterback coach, something along those lines. The NFL is all about who you know, where your connections are, and he'll find a spot somewhere. I highly doubt. He's a younger dude. He's not getting close to retirement. I'm sure he's going to want to do this for a long time. I feel like he's going to find a spot somewhere, but it might be in one of those made-up positions.
Made-up positions. Nothing better.
It's pretty much
than
what
that.
It is. Like, yeah. Dan Campbell, he was assistant head coach. Well, he was, I think he was assistant, like, tight end coach, too. It was something kind of ridiculous, but they brought him in because Peyton's kind of been a Bill Parcells disciple, and so is Campbell.
The NFL, more than any other sport ever, It's a who-you-know league.
100%.
Let's move on to some of the fantasy-relevant players. And I guess it's really just one. Kareem Hunt, accused of shoving a 19-year-old woman. And have you guys read all the details on this? It's pretty interesting.
Not much. I just read that he was accused of pushing her and that TMZ might have a video coming out shortly. Yeah. I don't know how accurate that is, but...
According Twitter to Cleveland said. Plain Dealer, a 19-year-old woman has accused Kareem Hunt of shoving and pushing her down in her, pushing her in downtown Cleveland over the weekend. First off, that's your first mistake. Cleveland. Don't want to be there.
Hey, why is she out? She's 19.
The alleged like incident occurred at 3:45 a.m. It's very... very late.
What's that?
Or very early.
It's very early. He probably woke up to work out. Bitch, yeah. Got in his bed.
Yeah. I'm trying to get my protein shake.
Hey.
I need
my camel milk, bitch.
On Saturday morning, 3:45, no charges have been filed yet. Another woman who was with Hunt and his friends at the time claims 19-year-old Abigail whatever assaulted her, instigating the melee. One police report lists Hunt as a suspect. Another police report lists her as the suspect, meaning there's a cross complaint. Basically, at the end of the day, they said that they kicked her out because they found out she was 19. Right. And then they called him racial slurs.
19 and I can see that. I can see it. 19 years old. Someone was like, wait a second. You friggin' hoochie mama succubus. Little skanky ass hoe. Get your ass out my house. That's what happened. And she freaked out. And now they're here.
Kareem Hunt is getting snow bunnied, just like Ezekiel Elliott. She sounds like a little white girl, probably white and privileged. I feel like he should get 6 games.
Why are you going to be racing in this, bro?
Does this hurt anything? Well, we don't know the stance on everything. We don't know what's going to happen. What happens if you're targeting him? Will you stop?
I can't. He's got me all freaking fired up.
What would you do in this certain situation if you had a Kareem Hunt, say, on your dynasty or your fantasy keeper league?
Still got to keep
him. Yeah, don't panic. It's a crappy situation. There's been times in the NFL where there really hasn't been much evidence, and players have been suspended for domestic violence. That's where they are right now. As long as there's no video, that'll definitely help his case. But if he put his hands on her in any way, he's probably going to get 6 games. That's my thoughts of the situation.
Tim, last thoughts on that?
I think you are fine with Kareem Hunt. I think this is going to be one of those situations that kind of gets swept under the rug. The cross complaint and the fact that the police kind of kicked her out and said, hey, you know what, just sounds to me that they kicked her out. She wasn't happy about it and tried to make a bigger deal than actually happened.
One other player that may not be in such a good spot is one Reuben Foster, linebacker for the 49ers. 49ers Reuben Foster, according to the San Jose Mercury News, is accused of dragging his girlfriend during an argument that led to his arrest for domestic violence. He owns multiple semi-automatic rifles, which I don't understand why that's a big thing. But was found by the officers during the arrest.
Because Hillbilly Josh over here, he's got his freaking knives and guns. I'll speak first on behalf of one Reuben Foster, because I was the biggest on him into last year's draft.
You were a Reuben Foster apologist, 100%.
I'm not an apologist. You were. No, I was a Reuben Foster supporter. And apologist. All I will say is Reuben Foster has messed up mightily over the last 4 to 5 months. He will be suspended. Fact. No doubt about it. The question now is, will it be 4, 6, 8, 10 games? Tom and I were talking before Josh finally got here at about midnight tonight about what, you know, the recourse will be for his actions. It seems to me that if he has a good attorney, everything's going to get pleaded down to misdemeanors. He's going to get some big type of reduced sentence because he's a rich and famous athlete. It's not going to affect his suspension. He's still going to get 8 games, in my opinion. 8, maybe 10 originally, just to kind of lay down the law after the marijuana and then the assault rifle and domestic violence. I'll say 10 games originally for a suspension. He'll appeal, and it'll get appealed down to 8 to start the 2018 season.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of players like this in the NFL come out in their rookie year, and they struggle with being a solid citizen, in all honesty. But is he going to take that Aldon Smith role where he just spirals out of control and he's just wasting tons and tons of potential? Or is he going to learn from this and become a better man, a better person? Yeah, most likely, Tim, I would not be shocked. 8 to 10 games, I think it's pretty justified. Plus, he's going to be in the... Is he already in the NFL drug? No.
Not yet. There hadn't been enough time between his booking and the NFL season, if you would.
So he shouldn't get suspended from that, but he will be in the drug testing procedure. And it'll be very hard for him to pass a drug test while he's smoking weed. So he's going to have to quit that. And it's going to be interesting, but I hope he learns from this. He was one of the better linebackers in all of football last year as a rookie. Kid's an absolute stud, and if he wasn't such a knucklehead in the pre-draft process, he probably would have went top 10 in the draft last year. He's that good.
Well, and you look at the scariest part, and sorry, Josh, to interrupt you here.
You're fine.
We were going in, but you look at his last 12 months, right? From the 11. NFL draft process. Yeah, even 11 months. What he was just arrested for over these last 6 weeks and what he was kicked out of the combine for, it's showing a pattern.
Yep, 100%.
It's showing a pattern. As you mentioned, I have been a Reuben Foster apologist, and he is making it extremely difficult for people like me to defend him anymore.
So
he's shown a pattern.
You think he's going to be suspended this year, correct?
100%.
He needs
it. No, yeah. I don't think. He will be suspended. Minimum 6 games, maximum 10.
Kareem Hunt, will he be suspended this year?
No.
If I had to bet money, no. But if the NFL...
Unless there's a video showing him, like, shoving her and then Seth Rollins curb stomping her on an actual curb.
There was no video for Zeke either, though. And he had witnesses saying that he didn't do anything wrong as well.
But there were bruises there. There weren't counter complaints. It's different. Semantics, Tom. Semantics.
We don't know if that girl is going to punch herself in the arm and say, this is what Kareem Hunt did to me. She might.
It happens. She might do that now. But when you go back to what... All the cards are already on the table that are going to be played. When that happened with Zeke, what happened? The cops had photos of the night of bruises, of bloodied lips. They had photos. Or she posted photos that night on Instagram, whatever it might have
been. She's in the bathroom punching herself, taking pictures. All right, let's move on. So we think that Reuben will get suspended.
For
maybe
sure.
Kareem Hunt, we don't know. And if you have him in a keeper or dynasty league, don't worry about it now until the time comes. Don't overreact. Johnny Manziel, only because I saw this story come out. He was speaking to Good Morning America. He said that he was diagnosed with bipolar disorder last year, was self-medicating with alcohol, appears to be in a better place, taking his medication, yada, yada, yada. I only want to ask this question. I want your complete, honest answer. So I'm going to give you 3 options. He does not play football ever again. He plays sometime in the NFL. Could be this year. Could be next year. Could be the year after. Or he plays in the XFL.
Could we do 4 CFL?
The CFL. You could throw that in there too.
I think it's more likely that he'd play in the CFL or the XFL.
Here's the fact. Listen, dude's on Good Morning America. Career's over. He's lost his edge. He's lost it. I'm glad.
You're on Good Morning America. You're not on TMZ.
It's over. I am glad that he has found his mental health. I'm happy about that. But, and I'm not trying to be, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm not trying to be anti-PC or whatever. The fact of the matter, why do so many NFL players not want to be on the meds that are prescribed for after concussion protocol or after any of that? It slows them down. It makes them a shell of what they used to be. Johnny Manziel blew his opportunity to be an NFL star quarterback. He had it. The Browns took a dramatic risk on him, and he drank it away and probably snorted it away. Now, he's going through therapy. That's great. As a human being, that's what he needs to be doing. He still, to this day, should not be worrying about football. He will never take an NFL snap ever again. If he takes an XFL snap, he's a fucking idiot. Fact. If he takes an XFL snap, he's dumb. CFL? Sure. Sign me up for that. Put him in the CFL. Then Bill Beck. Maybe he does a Kurt Warner story. And I'm completely off base here. Get him mentally strong. You have just been diagnosed with bipolar disorder, according to yourself. Stay away from football. Figure your shit out. And in 2020, when the XFL is real, then maybe say, hey, I'm ready to come back.
All right. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about? I had a couple more things.
Hell yeah, there's a lot.
What they were.
There's a lot left I want to talk about.
What else you
want to
talk about?
I want to talk about recently. Guess what? 24 weeks, 2 days from today, the Hall of Fame game. Chicago Bears against the Baltimore Ravens, Josh. We are that close. 24 weeks and 2 days to football. You know what else I want to talk about? I want to talk about Cam Chancellor and him taking his D out, taking it out of a jock strap, putting it on the table and saying, hey, Seattle Seahawks, thanks for the contract. I'm just going to fist you this year because he's getting paid no matter what he does. He probably shouldn't play. He probably isn't healthy enough to play. And no matter what, he's going to make his money. He's got $6.8 million fully guaranteed, regardless of if he signs or if he retires. It doesn't matter. The Seahawks should be begging him to retire. You have a neck injury. You have these, just retire. We're going to be in a rebuilding year. We're going to rebuild. We're going to draft offensive line. We're going to try to bring ourselves along. We're going to try to make Chris Carson, Josh.
Chris Carson,
our starting running back. And rebuild in the West. The Rams are going to be very, very, very good.
Niners.
In 2018, the 49ers are rebuilding. Make this your rebuilding year, Seattle Seahawks. Trade everything you have off and try to rebuild for 2019.
Yeah, right now with the Seahawks, you look right now on offense, they got Doug Baldwin, they got Russell Wilson. Their offensive line, one of the worst units in football. That defense, a highly overpaid, aging defense right now. Yeah, Tim, you hit the nail on the head. Get rid of those guys while you can. Try to rebuild. Try to flip Earl Thomas right now. He's still in his prime. You could still probably get a good amount of value for him. Richard Sherman, same thing. Michael Bennett, they got issues with cap. There's a lot of issues with this team. Their little Super Bowl run that they had, they were forced to overpay guys, and that's exactly what happened. The only guy they should be worried about on that defense is Bobby Wagner. Dude's a complete stud, probably the second or third best overall linebacker in football right now. But, yeah, they need to rebuild and get as much as they can for their aging vets.
The Seahawks should be a blueprint for other NFL teams. If you roll your eyes all you want, Joshua.
A blueprint. My eye's twitching right now.
A blueprint for other NFL teams of what not to do when you have one of those seasons. Take a realistic view of your team. They overpaid guys. I know that one of the experts out there was saying the Cam Chancellor deal was the worst, might be one of the worst deals ever in NFL history because it's all guaranteed.
Yeah,
whether he plays or retires or whatever. I believe they pay him in 2019 as well, regardless of if he retires or not. So,
last couple questions for you guys. Deion Lewis, will he or will he not be on the Patriots next year?
I don't think he will be. Pats have somewhat of an issue with cap right now. They're not known to overpay players. I could see him I could really see him going to Detroit. With Matt Patricia.
Got a question for you guys. Do you know what they usually pay their running backs when they say this is kind of our cutoff and what Deion Lewis will potentially be commanding?
Probably like $2 million.
Close, yeah. Like $3 or $4 million is pretty much that line.
I could see Lewis getting $4 to $5 million. Their cap situation right now is not great.
Yeah, this guy.
They don't have a starting tackle on their team. Cameron Fleming and Nate Solder are both free agents. Malcolm Butler will be gone. They got some holes to fill.
Yeah, the report out there is Lewis is looking for a deal in the range of $15 to $18 million over 3 years.
It makes sense. $5 million a year.
Yeah,
that makes total sense.
With $10 million guaranteed.
Yeah, honestly,
for a backup running back.
Looking back, who was the kid from Buffalo that they stole?
Gillisley.
Do they owe him any money this year?
I believe they can cut him free of charge.
They can cut him. That's
same thing with Burkhead. I think Burkhead was only a 1 year deal. Yep. They don't have to cut him. He's just a free agent.
They're going to have to.
You know what they're going to do, right? They're going to let him walk, and then they're going to draft our boy, Sonny Michel.
Yeah, you mentioned exactly that the other day in our group text, Josh. I love that idea. That's a perfect fit. I hate it because it's the Patriots, but that is a perfect fit.
Yeah, I feel like that's just writing on the wall.
It'd be a very good landing spot for him for fantasy-wise, 100%.
I know we were talking last week before Tom stormed off about Kirk Cousins. We brought him up very quickly. Where do you guys, now we have another week under our belt, we have another week to speculate, where do you personally have Kirk Cousins going?
You saw it today. I spelled it out for Tom. I spelled the writing on the wall when we were talking about where our quarterbacks go and our rankings of the quarterbacks. The Denver Broncos are signing Kirk Cousins. That's I have it pretty much set in stone right now that the Broncos are Von Miller today and throughout. He was pushing rainbows and cereal because those are Kirk Cousins' apparently two favorite things. Fucking weirdo. It makes too much sense. He's going to go to the Denver Broncos. I know Emmanuel Sanders is going elsewhere. Potentially, he's probably going to be traded.
Or cut
elsewhere. But still, with their number one wide receiver, I'm blanking.
Demaryius Thomas.
Thank you. Demaryius Thomas. If you add Kirk Cousins there and then draft another piece, or you have pieces there, you still have C.J. Anderson, I believe, for another year. You have Devonta Booker. So you have kind of a thunder and lightning there with Kirk Cousins. And that defense, make that happen for your team for 2018. It gives them the best chance to win. The Broncos, John Elway will not go total rebuild. He still thinks that they're ready to compete this coming season. If they add Kirk Cousins, that's their only chance to actually compete in 2018.
If I really think Denver will probably be, they'll probably make a big play in getting him. They're probably the favorites right now. But a dark horse, I'd go with the Vikings. I think they're close. Ooh. I think they're close enough to get the job done right now. That defense, it's spectacular. They got enough weapons on the offense side of the football. Probably more weapons than Kirk Cousins has ever seen. Yeah, they're going to have to break the bank for him, but this is their time. This is their window to go out and win a Super Bowl.
I'm going to go and go with the Cardinals.
I can see that.
We've seen them go out before and pay some money to a quarterback, a la Carson Palmer. They have done it. They're willing to do it. And you kind of got to look at their team right now. They got Patrick Peterson. They got some decent defensive pieces. Larry Fitzgerald, possibly only one more year. He's signed for 2018, but he can opt to retire. You have David Johnson, arguably one of the top three running backs in the NFL. So you're automatically going into a spot where you're sitting pretty good. You have other decent wide receiver options.
If I'm Kirk Cousins, obviously you want to get one of the bigger contracts, right? But if you're looking at who's going to set me up here long term to win, if he goes to the Cardinals, 2 years from now he's in the same exact spot. The Cardinals are going to offer him a heavy front loaded, but they're going to be potentially rebuilding.
My thing is with Kirk Cousins, and I stated it to you guys. The guy's already 29 years old.
Yep.
And with the Cardinals, in my opinion, and where they're sitting in the draft, at pick number 15, in my best guess, if Josh Allen falls to you, or in Tim's make-believe world of Baker Mayfield dropping all the way to 15, or you have Lamar Jackson, you don't want Lamar Jackson.
Nope.
And you're not going to want to trade up, because you know what's going to happen is the Buffalo Bills have two picks in the first round, which I believe they will go ahead and trade those picks, and they're going to move all the way up to possibly pick number 7 or 8, somewhere around up there, anywhere between 7 and 10, and then you're going to have to try to make your way up even further. We saw the bidding war with some of these these teams with the quarterbacks last year. I think the same thing is going to happen. I don't think the Cardinals want to make that move. I also read an article, or maybe it was on the radio, that who was it? Pick number. It was the Bears pick, I think. Pick number, what is eight. It? 8? They said that pick number 8 would command a ransom that the Redskins had to give up for RG3. And he said, you take the order where everybody's at and you break it all down. That's what they could command for that pick. I'm like, at 8?
That's good. Sign me up, Josh. Sign me up, baby.
They said you look at it and break everything down where everybody's at. Quarterback here, and then nobody there, and then blah, blah, blah. You go all the way down. They're like, at that point in time, you can pretty much command what you want. Who knows?
It's all going to be about Cousins. Because if we're guessing right now, and most people are guessing that number one, number two, the Browns, Giants, are both going to take quarterback.
Yep.
The Browns definitely need a quarterback. The Giants need a backup plan to Eli. He is not going to play forever. So most likely the top two quarterbacks, it'll probably be Baker Mayfield and Josh Rosen. Go right there. You know,
suck my dick.
Or one of the top guys. But three's a spot. The Colts, they're most likely, as long as if the stuff on Luck goes good, then they'll be looking to trade back. They've already talked about that.
Luck's speaking Dutch.
If the Broncos don't get Cousins, then they might be willing to trade back. Same with the Jets. So there's going to be a lot of action this year. There's good quarterbacks in this class.
The other thing that I did here is one big exec was talking about Nick Foles. We were talking about his possible trade scenario on what he would command on the open market. He also stated that it would command multiple first round picks for Nick Foles to be traded. And I was,
there's no way.
I was shocked. And this may have been the same guy that was saying the thing about the Bears, but they said multiple first round picks, if not two firsts and a second.
Absolutely nuts.
I think that's crazy. I think if you can get a second round pick, awesome.
Oh yeah.
But multiple firsts, I don't know about.
Outrageous.
That.
I have something for both of you. I want to know two totally different topics, but very interesting going into free agency.
Snowboarding?
Here. No. The Jets are expected to release one Muhammad Wilkerson, and the, you know, where does Muhammad Wilkerson end up? And there's been the rumors that the Cowboys should trade one Dez Bryant and or cut him. So, where do Muhammad Wilkerson and Dez Bryant end up to start the 2018 season?
I really have no idea. Wilkerson's going to get paid no matter where he goes. He's a top 10 D lineman in my eyes in football. I don't know. You just got to look at the people that got the money. Colts got money. They got holes all over that roster. Niners, they still got holes. They have invested a lot on that defensive line. The Browns, I could see the Browns doing it, pairing him up with Danny Shelton, Myles Garrett. That'd be pretty intimidating on that defensive line. But it's going to be a team that's willing to fork over $15 million a year. $15 million a year for a defensive lineman, because that's what's going to happen in free agency. There's a ton of teams that have over 50, 60 million. Like, I can see the Bears going after him. I think he'd be a good fit in their 3-4 under Vic Fangio. He'd probably be their most talented defensive lineman. It'd be a good spot for him. And Dez, it's tough. If they get rid of him, right now they're being rumored to be looking at wide receivers in the first round.
Which is a joke.
So,
in my opinion.
What other weapons do they have?
Tom,
Jason Witten's getting old. You got
Tom. You're Rico a Gathers. You're a somewhat of a Cowboys fan. I'm also somewhat of a Cowboys fan. They want to move on from Dez, right? It just seems like they just want to move on from him.
Well, even if you move on from Dez, it just, in my opinion, and we've seen this the last couple of drafts, right? Teams have moved up or drafted high. You have Mike Williams, barely played last year. John Ross, barely played. You have Josh Doctson, hasn't produced. Corey Davis didn't do anything for the first three quarters of the season.
2 years ago, Laquan Treadwell. Number one. Thank you.
Laquan Treadwell hasn't done anything. So in my opinion, I'm going to stand firm on this. I think there will only be one wide receiver drafted in the first round. And in my opinion, I don't think there should be any drafted in the first round. We saw this before where you had the scales, right? Wide receiver was getting drafted so high, and running back took a big fall. And now I think we're in the days again where running back is so high, and now we're going to see wide receiver fall off the side of the earth. And I think that's the way it's going to be this draft. Quarterback again, high. You're going to see running back high, wide receiver. If there is not a wide receiver drafted in the first round, I won't be shocked.
Really, you look at like the top five receivers, there's not much separating them. I love Calvin Ridley as a prospect. He's going to be 24 in his first NFL game. That's not what you want. Amari Cooper is 20. He'll be 24 this year.
And you're telling me that if he's going to – the big landing spot everybody's talking about is the Chicago Bears at pick number 8, right?
It's not happening.
Yeah, it's not
happening. Hell no. Nope. I would rather take any other position. Give me an offensive lineman there. Give me a defensive player there. Give me anything that's really going to help me long term. The part that
scares me as a Bears fan, sorry, Josh, to cut you off, but there's rumblings that the Bears will take one of the top quarterbacks as the backup to one Mitchell Trubisky. That they might take at 8 a Josh. Now, I'm assuming that it's to entice teams to trade up to that.
Which is very smart. That is the. And if you can get 2 first round picks at pick 8 and say that is going to be the pick between, again, Tim's fantasy land of Baker Mayfield or Josh Allen at those spots, and if they're there at 8, you better be talking about how you're going to take one of them. Because you're going to get a great return. You're going to get probably a first round. Imagine if it was with Buffalo. Would you be happy with getting pick number, whatever, 21 and 22? Oh, hell yeah. Because the draft, the talent-wise, is not that different, vastly different from pick number 8 to where you're going to get it at 22. Like, theoretically, yeah.
This year
it's pretty evenly spread. You can get a Vita Vey possibly at that spot. You can get some pretty good players that are going to be some really good role players. Plus, you might even get a second round pick next year included in there.
Yep.
God damn, you'd be stupid not to make that.
Yep.
Sorry. But to answer your question with Dez Bryant, there's no way they cut him because there are no wide receivers that are worth drafting in the first round.
They would take an $8 million dead cap hit if they cut him. But he is his cap hit this year, $16.5 million. He's their second highest player right now. Good luck trading that.
I would not be surprised to see them potentially trade Dez and a first-round pick and a pick next year to get rid of Dez. They're going to try to get rid of Dez, in my opinion.
The only team I could really see, like San Francisco, they still got $80 million.
Cleveland's
got over $100 million, so they can eat those type of contracts. But yeah, $16.5 million for a receiver. That's a tough cap hit right now. That's 9.75% of your total cap for a wideout.
They're gonna have to pair a lot of picks with him in order to trade him.
Last but not least, guys, this is what we're gonna talk about: the NBA trade deadline.
What
came and passed?
Yeah, who the fuck cares?
No. This is what I want to bring up. So they were a crap ton of trades, right? Would you guys want to see a trade deadline like that in the NBA, like that in the NFL?
It's impossible. Football, the playbook that they have to learn, all the different type of offenses and defenses. Yeah, it would be extremely exciting
Could you imagine if you saw, let's just throw this out there, let's just say the Chicago Bears trade to the Indianapolis Colts, Frank Gore to the Bears, Jordan Howard to the Colts.
I'm cool with that. That's it.
Sounds awful.
That's it. First round pick to the Bears. But then the Bears.
We got 3-8.
The Bears also have to flop a corner, Fuller. They have to sign him to a deal first, to a tag, and then trade him to the Colts.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that kind of crazy? That's what it would be.
It'd be absolutely insane. It'd be like our fantasy football trade deadline. You know, everyone out there that has their own league, you know, like the week of the trade deadline, everyone's freaking out. Everyone's going to make a move. Even the team that's 1-10 or whatever his record is, he's trying to get better at the last second. But it's just unrealistic. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I agree with Tom. It's not going to happen. Most of the trades at basketball got salary dumps going to the bad teams who have expiring contracts, and the contract situation is just so different. The cap is so different in the NFL. It's not a realistic thing. Teams have not figured out a way to play it into their favor like they have in the NBA. I would love it, Josh, but it's never gonna. This past NFL trade deadline, seeing, you know, the Jay Ajayis of the world,
Jimmy G.
You know, this was like the best trade deadline in years in the NFL.
What was the biggest trade before those two? Would that go back to the Jimmy Graham trade from the Saints to the Seahawks?
LeSean McCoy trade was pretty big.
Yeah, that was big.
I believe that was in season.
Honestly, I don't remember.
I don't remember.
But the NBA is broke. Like, look, there's like three teams in each conference trying to win.
Yeah.
Everyone else is trying to lose. You know, our Chicago Bulls are trying to lose, but they keep winning.
Yeah, it's so weird. It's so weird.
And I would much rather have the NFL's product.
We have been talking far too much pumpkin ball for my
I thought it was very comical to see all the trades.
Why can't I call it pumpkin ball? That's not a bad thing to say.
I was just very... I was laughing, thinking it was very comical.
Tom did not like that comment.
You see all these trades happen in the NBA, and I think it'd be very, very interesting and weird to see that in the NFL. I don't know if I'd want to see it.
No.
But it'd be interesting.
It'd be stupid as hell.
So, anything else, guys?
That's all I got.
Tim, any other stupid things?
Just props to Josh McDaniels, making the right choice. Staying at home with his pets.
Did you also read the report saying that he does not have a deal in place that he will be the successor?
Yep. I hope he gets cut and no one else will ever sign him.
I agree with it. Listen, he doesn't. From what I read was that he was at the Patriots facility cleaning out his office, rolls in Robert Kraft, and a few minutes after him, Billy B. Hey, what's going on, guys? Oh, you guys are sitting here talking? Let's sit down and have a conversation. He got enticed to stay. He set himself up, so now he has to be the Patriots guy for the rest of his career.
Yep.
Because every other NFL team will say, F you, buddy, is essentially what it rolls down to. But to me, it still goes back to the Colts. You set yourself up for this. You set yourself up for this. You decided to take someone's word. In business ever, you never take anyone's word. You take it in writing.
Yep, that's true.
Has to be in writing. You shake your head all you want.
It was
Tom.
Even in writing.
You can be. It wasn't signed.
You know, they had a cake that said "Welcome to Indianapolis," and they ate it the next day. Chris Ballard said, he's like, yeah, we weren't smiling when we ate this cake, but it was pretty good.
If I was the Colts, and when McDaniel's deal runs out, I am offering him a job to be the goddamn towel boy. And that's it. That's all I would offer.
He will stay forever.
He has to.
In New England.
Be better.
Until Bill Belichick retires, and then hope and pray Bobby K loves him as much as he said that he loves him. When they met in his office this past offseason. This is a career-defining, NFL precedent-setting, you know, going to potentially change the rules, change the way everything happens. But when it comes down to it, you know, they're technically not even supposed to be talking to him.
They can interview on their bye weeks.
They can interview, but they're not supposed to come into any type of agreements, real agreements, until after... they're out of it. So that's where I come to, you know, I don't fault him.
You have terrible morals then.
No, I don't fault him. He said, you know, yeah, you know, I'm going to be your head coach. I feel bad for, the only person I feel bad for is the assistant coaches that signed with Indy, yeah, thinking that they're going along with him. Because obviously he did, I mean, let's call a spade, he had every intention of going to the Colts. Didn't play out that way. Sorry, champ. Get over it. This is the real world.
Looking back, like, I'm happy how this happened because what this means.
Lies.
No, what this means to me is that Patriots, they're going to spend probably their early second round pick on a quarterback, maybe the first round pick, and that the Brady Belichick era is coming to an end. They wanted him there so badly to develop a quarterback so they wouldn't go into football purgatory and not have one. Josh McDaniel, excellent football coach, excellent mind, one of the best offenses in the NFL right now. Probably the best offensive coordinator in football. But he's a shitty human being. It's a fact. He does not have morals. He did not learn from that Denver situation where no one ever talks good about him. I was extremely happy to just envision him and possibly Andrew Luck playing together next year. I thought that would help him tremendously, getting an offensive guy in there. But he wasn't the right person. He's
nine are the only ones that have had winning records coming off of that. What are your thoughts on Reich and his ability to, you know, have the Colts be a winning team in 2018?
their success next year is all about Andrew Luck. 100%. They're still in a scene. Shitty Colts teams win. One of the best owners in football.
No, he's an absolute... He's a drunken retard.
He gave Chuck Pagano 6 years.
He's a drunken moron. He's a drunken moron. Jim Irsay is a drunken moron.
He's been sober for four years.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, me too. Hashtag me too. BDB, as you like to refer to. Irsay has not been sober for friggin' 4 minutes, let alone 4 years.
Can't prove that, but...
Yeah, you can't prove that he has been either. You saw him at the press conference today. And
he's
not
a good public speaker.
You talk about bad people. Jim Irsay is one of them. Ballard is a good GM.
Probably best of all time.
He is a good GM. They have a good head coach now. As a Colts fan, doesn't it bother you that they refuse to put Luck on any sort of timetable, to give you any sort of information? They freaking just dragged you along all offseason, all regular season last year. They just toyed with you and your emotions through the 2017 season. And they seem prepared to do it again in 2018. Doesn't that bother you?
No, I just think you're uninformed, Tim.
Oh, my God.
They did bring him back. He was throwing at one point. He was a week
in November.
It was October, actually.
Oh, that's even worse.
Not really. Why would you push the issue on a guy who's had shoulder injury? Are you going to force him out there to go play and take some more hits? No.
No.
They were playing
it smart. Be realistic with your fan base. Be realistic. They haven't been.
They were just going off with what doctors told them.
No, they've been selling you chicken shit is what they've been selling you.
Completely disagree with
you. They've been selling you chicken shit. And there's. I will say right now, Andrew Luck will not start week one for your Indianapolis Colts.
Slap bet. Do it.
No, because you don't have the balls. You really don't believe that. You're just
you
trying
gave
to be
me
all
the
cool
same,
right now.
No, you gave... you. This was the same bet we made. You wanted to make this same bet last year. Do you remember that? You
no.
wanted to make this same exact
bet. Did you make it,
bet,
though?
But no, I didn't.
Then make it now.
But that's my,
problem
with the Colts.
Timmy Streets.
That's my problem with the Colts. Is they won't just give their fans the information of what's actually going on with their team. Andrew Luck is the biggest question mark in the NFL.
Yep.
Biggest question mark by far. He may never play football ever again.
Slap bet?
I'm not slap betting that.
All right, anything else?
That's all I got.
Can't
wait to tear Tim's quarterback rankings apart.
All right, everybody.
We'll see if we get to it this week or if you fucking pout and go home.
That's all we have for you this week. Hope you enjoy it. Again, we are Pony Kick Sports. You guys can follow us on Twitter. At Pony Keg Sports, at Pony _ Keg _ Tom. And
best name on Twitter, baby.
He's pretty active, though.
Fight Talk
credit.
Tim. And you guys can always email us, ponykegsports@gmail.com. And we are still waiting to hear back from the winner.
He's only got a couple of days left here, and we're going moving on to the second.
Le'Veon Bell.
What's that guy's name?
I don't know.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
The Le'Veon Bell jersey. Still haven't heard back, so... Yeah, who knows? We might have another drawing because I think we already forgot who was number two. So.
No, we got it.
I think it was Amanda Schultz was the real winner.
So, again, follow us, like us, share it, all that good stuff. And until next time.
Peace!